Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Business Talk, presented in collaboration with the University of Rio Grande and the Ohio State University South Centers, from the heart of southeastern Ohio at the University of Rio Grande TV studio. Our goals are simple: promote the University of Rio Grande and the Ohio State University South Centers, as well as advocate local small business and their support organizations. More importantly, promote southeastern Ohio as a wonderful place to live, explore, and learn. There are many different ways you can find us. The University of Rio Grande Cable Access Channel 17, live online at blogtalkradio.com, and on YouTube if you are unable to catch our show live. Introducing our co-hosts, Jason Winters, Mike Thompson, Patrick Dingle. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the show.
Someone would get up. Well, were you the storyteller?
Oh, I told a lot of stories, but I don't know that that's what we're talking about.
Well, you know, during the camping, some of the best scary stories that we had was, it would be late at night, and someone would get up and tell a really scary story and then say, well, everyone go to bed. And we would think to ourselves, I'm not going to go through that woods. Mm-hmm. But you remember experiences like that?
I remember a lot of those.
Yes. And did your sons go to Boy Scouts?
They did not. But they were heavily involved in the 4-H program, so they had 4-H camp, and they did the exact same thing around the campfire, and they had all of the stories. They were just, you know, we geared ours more towards the camping and the, you know, the Boy Scouts and the different stories.
Yeah.
But if we get back to what we're talking about today, you know, one of the stories I remember listening to growing up in Boy Scouts was the stories of Bill McKell. And Bill, we're going to talk about later, Alan's going to tell us all about how he brought the Story Festival to the
hospital. Okay. So. Well, you know, storytelling, I was sort of looking at a variety of ways in which storytelling has been a part of the American way. First of all, the Native Americans, they would tell their stories. In southern Ohio, we have a number of different tribes that hail to this area, the Mingos and the Choctaws and the Shawnee. They would tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were talking with Alan, he was telling about an upcoming story festival that's going to be occurring every year in Chillicothe. And you know, I said, hey, why don't you come in and tell us about it? So it's with great pleasure that we introduce Alan Cook. Alan Cook is the assistant professor here at the College of Business at the University of Rio Grande, a personal friend, and also I think he and you have something in common.
We have a lot in common, but one thing, we're both working on our doctorate.
And I think that's great that you guys are working on your doctorate. And I see you slaving over Isaac and Spring.
Yes, that's what we both should be doing right now, actually.
Yeah, but, you know, isn't PhD a storytelling event also? But anyway, Alan, welcome. It is a pleasure having you on our program.
Thank
you. Would you tell the listening audience a little bit about your background and how you came to the University of Rio Grande as an assistant professor?
Well, I started here in 2009 as a lecturer in the School of Business, and before that, I was going way back. I started out as a middle school computer teacher, and I taught in public schools for 10 years, and then I went to work with Horizon Telecom in Chillicothe, Ohio. They provide data and cable TV and phone services. And the CEO of Horizon is Bill McKell, who Jason was mentioning is a storyteller, and he's actually the reason we have the Storytelling Festival in Chillicothe. He, through his experiences as a as Boy Scout telling campfire stories, and then later telling stories with his Boy Scout troop, and he started writing stories that he shared in the community, and also shared with customers of Verizon every year as a Christmas card.
And so what is so important about storytelling?
Well, I think it's like you said, it's part of the fabric of our country, is how we pass information to earlier generations. And of course, a lot of that has changed into the digital world, where we have YouTube videos and podcasts and webcasts. But that storytelling, that personal experience of sitting and listening to a story, still continues on, and it's still the most probably genuine way of passing information from generation to generation.
Yeah, that's true.
Storytelling is more than just actually getting up and telling a story. It's more of an art form, huh?
It's performance art. Definitely. At the storytelling festival, that's what we have. We have performers who come in and tell stories. And probably a lot of the misconception is that people think storytelling is library time, where a librarian sitting with an open book and telling mm-hmm. stories to children. But storytelling festivals are much more than that experience. It is more of a performance art on the level of a theater that you would.
Do they have to be true stories?
No, in a lot of cases they are fictionalized or maybe nonfiction stories that have been altered a little bit, and they have some truth to them and have some storytelling elements built into them. But they could be in a lot of cases they're storytellers draw on their backgrounds and their growing up and tell stories from that perspective. They could also be folk tales and or historical tales.
I always like the scary tales. Yeah. Those are my favorite.
And we do have Friday night during the Storytelling Festival, we have a scary stories time slot where the storytelling moves. The Storytelling Festival takes place in Yosemite Park. We utilize the Pump House Art Gallery for telling stories, and we also have a tent outside which accommodates up to probably 1,000 people in the tent. Then Friday night we move up to the Majestic Theater for scary stories in the evening.
So it starts on Thursday, did I hear you say that?
Yes, that's right. Thursday evening at 7, from 7 to 9, all the storytellers have a block where they can tell a story that evening. And that's sort of a sampler where you can come in. There's no cost to come in to Thursday night to listen to those stories in the Pump House Art Gallery. And then for all day Friday and all day Saturday, the Storytelling Festival goes on those whole days. Friday morning and early afternoon, we have about 800 school-age children come into the festival to hear stories. But the rest of the time is geared to all ages.
Now, I've been in the Pump House. That's an awful lot of people in the Pump House.
Well, during the Thursday evening performance, we usually pack it in, fill it up with probably 100 people.
Some of the more notable storytellers, I guess, would be Mark Twain.
Yes.
Mark Twain went around the country telling his own unique spin on information and stories. So is that pretty much...
Did you attend one of Mark's storytelling events?
I taught him how to do it. Was he a guest here not too long ago?
Before my time.
Some of them could be in that vein, and some of them could be very personal stories, and some of them are humorous. There's really a large range of types of stories that you hear throughout the weekend.
So tell us a little bit about Bill McHale, and why did he want this in Chillicothe?
Well, Bill being a storyteller, not only writing his own stories, but also telling stories to groups, someone approached him and suggested that he might enjoy going to the National Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee. And so he and his wife went to the Storytelling Festival there, and it's a major event there. It's very costly to go to that event. It comes over several days in October. and they enjoyed it immensely, but it's a big trip to make down there. It's a costly trip. And then they heard there was a storytelling festival in Cave Run, Kentucky. It's a little bit closer to home, a little bit smaller venue, and after attending there, they realized that this was an event that could possibly be run in Southern Ohio. There were no storytelling festivals in Ohio, and so Bill pulled together community leaders and looked for grants that we could put together a storytelling festival. So in 2004 was the first Southern Ohio Storytelling Festival in Chillicothe, Ohio, and mostly due to Bill's efforts.
And we've had a storytelling event every year since then.
Every year since then, yes. And it rotates. We generally have 3 to 4 nationally known storytellers, a few regional storytellers, and a handful of local storytellers during the weekend. And we also invite anyone to, we have an open mic on Saturday during the afternoon that people can stand up and tell their own stories.
That's Mike Thompson.
Open mic event.
And here's some individuals that are coming back or that have been in the past.
Yeah.
Just to give you a sort of flavor. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just read a couple of bylines that he has. With a maniac, silly, putty voice, astounding mouth noises, and hilarious stories, Andy Outfits Irwin is equal parts mischievous schoolboy and the Marx Brothers Aberdeen with a touch of Southern balladeers. Another individual that they had was Kim.
Kim is returning this year. She's
a red-headed child of exhausted parents. Kim grew up enjoying the role of a middle child allowed to roam free in the heart of Amish country. Her imagination was ripened by a life lived outside. Now she enjoys the roles of being one of the most sought-after storytellers and speakers in the country. Another individual that they had...
who's coming this year.
Yes.
For the first time.
Alton Chung.
Alton Chung.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Are you able to read real small print?
No.
He's going to be here. You know, he's mixed together with the magic and the superstitions of the Hawaiian Islands.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's going to bring an Asian flavor to the festival. We try to bring in variety of storytellers. So we try to have some that will do folk tales, some that will do different regions, different ethnic backgrounds. We try to mix in different flavors. So
it's very cultural diverse.
It's very cultural. And, of course, students are coming in on Fridays. We try to offer them that multicultural perspective as well.
And Ms. Evans.
Eileen Evans.
She performs, teaches, and lectures throughout the United States and overseas. She recently toured the Middle East and the Columbia for the United States Embassy to share African-American culture. And she was a guest 2 years ago or 1 year. Is she coming?
This will be her first year at
the festival. Oh, very good. She has had a passion for history since 1991. Wow. Before the turn of the century.
Yeah. And I think the Storytelling Festival, I think everyone will find something there. And it's very enjoyable. You're going to get stories that will touch your heart, but also bring people to laughter and tears crying. Or, you know, potentially, you know, very, very heartwarming stories as well.
Now, are you going to have a gentleman that dresses up as Mark Twain?
Stephen Holland is a new storyteller to our festival this year, and he does some Mark Twain impressionism. So,
now the Story Festival is every year the weekend after
Labor Day.
Right.
Yes, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday after Labor Day each year, and we positioned it in that time for a reason. There are storytelling festivals all throughout the United States. So we were looking for a weekend that wasn't conflicting with other festivals so that we could bring in national talent, and also we're just about a month before the National Storytelling Festival in Tennessee. We do find that a lot of our talent brings in stories that they are working on that they're going to be telling at the National Storytelling Festival. So a lot of times we think that we're the first to hear a lot of those stories. They do practice on us a little bit, but we get the benefit of hearing them for the first time in a lot of cases.
So, Alan, when are you going to – what time are you slotted to do?
I am not a storyteller. I actually got involved with the Storytelling Festival because I knew Bill, but he asked me if I would work on the website for the festival. So that was my talent that I brought to the festival, and later on I took on the responsibility of doing the printed materials as well, and now I'm president of the board that puts together the festival.
I understand.
Alan, you have a young child at home, right?
Yes. Riley, and she's 8 and will be 9 on the 4th of July.
Does Riley enjoy the festival?
Yeah, she does. She loves it. She's been coming to the festival and listening to it, and has appreciated it more as she's gotten older, of course. But, yeah, she loves it.
But I remember, you know, going to parks where they would have bands and orchestras, and they would have different kinds of themes throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of reminds me of going back a little bit to the times where you would go to the park for a community performance.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds like a community performance.
It is, although we get people as far away as Chicago who drive in for the festival. So a lot of times there'll be people who follow some of the national storytellers and will drive quite a ways to hear them.
Mm.
So when you take the childhood age students out of the picture, what's a normal attendance like for the evening performance?
We get upwards of 200 people under the tent in the evening for the festival, so it's
still well attended.
It's well attended. We would like to grow it larger. We have some competing events going on in the fall with football, but we feel that it's a great alternative, and it's a great family-friendly activity that everyone can come out and enjoy.
And you've been involved with it ever since 2009?
Since 2004 when it started.
Oh, 2004.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And the we sell weekend passes for adults. It's $10, and for students it's $5. And if you're under age 5, it's free. We also do provide free tickets to educators. And here at the University of Rio Grande, we also have free tickets to all faculty, staff to attend.
Hmm.
Through our grants.
Through your grants. So it is a nonprofit organization.
Yes, storytelling. Southern Ohio Storytelling is a 503C.
Yeah.
501C3.
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 Yeah.
So you can actually solicit donations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you can donate $1 million right off your taxes back.
Or Donald Trump could.
But I was going to give that $1 million to you and your business.
I don't need your money.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, look for a check in the mail.
Okay.
I mean, just stay by your mailbox and keep looking at it.
No, I bring that up for a good reason. This is not a cheap event to put on every year, is it?
Our budget varies. It's typically about $12,000 to $15,000 to put on the event during the year. Yeah.
So you're always looking for some sponsorships or some
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Yes, we've sponsors, donors, and grant money as well.
And how about volunteers? I'm sure you need a lot of people to make this happen.
If anyone would like to volunteer, we're always open to having volunteers to help coordinate. We need to move the storytellers around. So usually each storyteller gets someone attached to them who can escort them or move them from... if we have different venues sometimes, moving around the venues, which is actually kind of entertaining because you have personal time that you get to spend with the storyteller. You get to talk with them, and their lives are pretty interesting. And additional stories there.
And they work your life into their act, right?
Or the stories you try to tell them that they sort of enhance.
Yeah,
you know, I think one of my favorite storytellers, if I were to to see would be Frank McGarvey.
Frank is, he's actually on our committee, and he's with the Central Ohio Storytelling group, and he comes down and is very active in putting together the Storytelling Festival. He's been one of our local tellers on the lineup, but Frank always puts together and organizes our scary stories on Friday night.
He does
a wonderful job of recruiting and bringing in people to do those tales.
Well, he and I have something in common. First of all, he was raised in an area called German Village, and that's where my wife grew up, in German Village, Abercrombie. Yes. When they moved over from Croatia, their family did. They ended up in German Village. And then he also survived St. Aquinas High School. That was a tough school. And then he went to St. Charles Seminary for a while. And I went to St. Charles Seminary for a while until I closed it. They closed it the first year, and the college part. So, and then he became a father, had five wonderful daughters. So you talk about stories.
He's got a lot of good stories.
Now, you have two sons.
I do. I have no stories. If I did, I wouldn't be allowed to share.
I understand. But, you know, sometimes when we're out working real hard and we stop in for maybe a cold one, and then when we get home, that's when the stories really begin. Talking with our wives.
I find the best stories come right out of life.
That is true. Yes. And some of them are very, and you know, maybe we ought to get you to come back, Jason, and tell some of the interesting stories that you have been involved with students here at the University of Rio Grande. And Mike, you know, since he's on the Greek, he's
Greek Council.
Yeah, Greek Council. He's had some interesting stories that I think we
all have the stories. We just all need to change the name to protect the innocent or the guilty in some cases.
Well, you know, that's a nice thing about storytelling is the fact that you get out of your worries and you get out of what you're doing and just have a fun, relaxing evening.
The whole day is very entertaining. I think that you know, we were talking before about how storytelling has become digital, and you can visit our website, you can click on the links and visit the websites of our storytellers and get a flavor for what they will be telling at the festival. And often, most of them sell their stories in digital format on CDs, as well as books. But being at the storytelling festival, being in that environment, you're going to get a different mixture of it because you're going to, you know, the stories that they tell, often they tailor them to the audience. They often play off of each other during the weekend. So they'll be, they mix in different events that happen during the weekend. So there are things going on that are very enjoyable just being a part of the audience and being a part of that event.
Sure, it's much like going to a concert. I mean, we can listen to the radio, we can hear the music on the radio, but it's not until you actually go and set it up. Concert venue and partake.
Yes. Your website is very easy to remember.
Yes, it's SO for Southern Ohio, SOStoryFest.com.
And at first I thought, oh, that's a strange one. Sauce Story Fest. But it's really SO Story.
Yeah. Southern Ohio. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's very easy, SOStoryFest.com. We only have one or two more minutes. Care to partake in any other individuals that are going to be there? Or
is there anything we forgot to talk about that you wanted to mention before we...
Not in particular. You did mention someone else. We do have a local, Kevin Coleman is a historian. And does tours around the Chillicothe area, historical tours. And he has a slot on Saturday where he often comes in and gives those historical stories for an hour or so, and dresses up in character and talks about different historic events that happened in the past.
Yeah, and I remember Bill giving some of those campfire stories. Does he get up and on open mic night, or does he have a time during the story festival that he shares?
Usually, if Bill is not on our lineup, and this year he's not on our lineup, he will probably jump in at some point and tell a story. So last year, it was a story that I was involved. I got a plug in the story.
But it wasn't so embarrassing that, you know, you were, it was a good, funny story.
It was a story about Boy Scout camp.
There's a lot of good stories about Boy Scout camp.
Oh, yeah.
So again, when is the festival?
The festival is always the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday after Labor Day. And so this year it's going to be September 8th, 9th, and 10th.
8th, 9th, and 10th. And you can acquire your tickets how?
Through the website, of course.
Storyfest.com.
Yes, you go there, you can purchase tickets there. You can purchase them at the Pump House Art Gallery or through the Visitors Bureau in Philadelphia or at the festival.
And the tickets for adults are?
$10 for adults for the whole weekend. And $5 for students.
Oh, that's very, very inexpensive. You know, if you went to a ball game, you would pay that just on a drink.
Yeah, and we do price that with the grants that we have received. We're able to keep the cost economical. Most of the events that you go to, you'll see that the prices are up or even more at the national storytelling. So, it is really a bargain for...
And you said for the whole weekend?
For the whole weekend, yeah.
Wow. And five-year-olds and under get in free.
Yeah.
And college professors.
That
number. By a grant.
Educators.
Okay.
Yeah, so any teacher...
So high school, grade school?
Yes. Public eds, private education, K-12, and get two free tickets.
Well, Alan, I want to thank you very much for coming and telling us about the upcoming festival, Storytelling Festival. Really appreciate you having back. And we want you to bring some amusing, funny stories that you can tell.
I did try to invite Bill to come down, but he had a conflict today.
Well, maybe he can come down next time. Well, Jason... It's always a pleasure. I'm Patrick.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Alan.
Thank you for listening to Business Talk.